Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During Lowe's Pro Savings Days, save more on what goes into the job. Add power to your lineup with a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Plus, get up to 35% off select major appliances from Whirlpool, Maytag, and more. Get the job done right. Keep more in your pocket. That's Pro Savings Days. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 3/27. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
The Burt Show.
I didn't realize that such a superficial debate could cause so much heat. This seemed obvious to me, Cassie.
Did it really? It seems obvious to me.
Okay, let's see if we all have the same take on this.
All right. So there is an influencer or a TikToker named Cameron O.S. Krogers, and she brought something to the table of a debate. And I've seen these kinds of debates online. The other ones, like, we can get into the other one another time, but basically people not seeing eye to eye on something that seems so obvious. And this one is about days of the week.
I am shook to my core because I thought that this was something we all agreed upon. And then I brought it up to my husband and my parents, and they think differently. So I know that there aren't even odd days of the week because they're not numbered. But I just kind of thought we all agreed that if you were to label certain days of the week as even and certain days of the week as odd, we would think they were the same. And evidently they're not. I thought that even days would be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And then odd days would be Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. And we are not all in agreement here. And now I'm confused. So what do you think even days of the week are?
All right, so I didn't think that this would have a lot of legs at all. Then I had two friends that I debated about it, and it got so heated. So I put it up on my Instagram, which is Burt Show Burt, and there were 200 comments before I knew it. I feel like there were 200 different opinions on it. It seems so obvious to me.
People love stupid debates, but what days are odd to you and what days are even?
Okay, because the days of the week starts on Sunday. So to me, Sunday is an odd day. Tuesday is odd. Thursday is odd. And Saturday, oh, wait, because you can't have odd and even in the same back to back.
Yeah, you can.
See, I don't think you can.
Mind you. So, like, for me, Sunday is odd. Monday is odd. Tuesday is even. Wednesday is even because Wednesday is eight. Eight is Wednesday. I can't explain it. It just is what it is. And then you have Thursday, and Thursday is also even. I feel like Friday is odd and Saturday is even.
That is the most unhinged take.
Right.
It's so clear. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, odd. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, even.
I had Monday, Wednesday, Friday, even.
What?
Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Saturday is a wash.
Excellent. There can't be a wash.
Well, because of what I always ran into Saturday as the problem, because Sunday starts the week, so Sunday is one. So that everybody should agree that Sunday is an odd day.
Okay, so
right?
One is an odd number. Okay.
One is odd. That's
right.
Odd.
Well, right. So for me, odd is bad, even is good. So I get the Sunday scaries. No, seriously, I get the Sunday scaries. So yes, Sunday is odd.
Sunday is odd.
And so Monday is also odd because Monday
sucks.
Now,
that's where I don't understand.
You can't have back-to-back
odds. You can't start with two odds.
Yeah, you can't. Dude, Monday starts the week. Monday is one. Sunday is the last day of the week. That's the seventh.
No, Sunday
is the first day. Sunday starts the week.
Monday is the start of the week.
You want to argue with God at this point.
Sunday is part of the weekend. It's literally in the name. End of week. Weekend. Saturday and Sunday.
The calendar week starts on what day?
Sunday.
It starts on Sunday.
My Google settings say Monday.
If you look at a calendar, like any calendar that you can buy, what does the day of the week start with?
Sunday.
I'm gonna Google that. Sunday's the first one there maybe on the far left.
Maybe it's different in England.
That's Julius Caesar's
the
fault.
The International Organization for Standardization says Monday is the first day of the week. What? 1971 rules were established. Monday's the first day of the week, so Monday is one and it's odd.
Everybody knows nothing counts after 1970.
Fair.
So your reasoning once again, would be Sunday odd, Monday odd.
Correct.
Tuesday even.
Correct. Wednesday's also even because Wednesday is 8. 8 is Wednesday. I can't make sense of it. It just is what it is.
You know what else is odd?
What?
You.
I know.
What makes Tuesday even?
Because it's 2. Tuesday. It's 2.
Because it's...
I'm serious. Because Tuesday just sent, like, there's some, like 1, 3, 5, those are odd. They sound odd. 2, 4, 6, those are even. They sound even. I know there's, like, mathematical reasons behind it, but just go with me here. Tuesday sounds even. Wednesday is 8. 8 is Wednesday. Wednesday is even. Thursday sounds even as well. Friday sounds odd. And then Saturday sounds even.
What, go back. What did you say about Wednesday?
Wednesday is 8. 8 is Wednesday. It just
Wednesday is 8?
The number 8. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Just like Thursday.
There's no reason.
Thursday is blue. Like, it just is.
You see it, and like, when I think Wednesday, I think of the number 8.
And
see,
you're wrong. Thursday is green, obviously.
What?
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday sound like even days to me, if we're going off of sound. They just sound even.
Oh, my God.
They make sense. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Even days of the week.
This is the question that's going to rip the country apart. It has nothing to do with the election.
The Burt Show. What's trending now? Go! Kristen knows. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Absolutely shocking and heartbreaking news. Former One Direction star Liam Payne died yesterday at the age of 31.
She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone.
He fell from a third-floor balcony at a hotel in Argentina. The incident is still under investigation. Police don't know yet if the fall was an accident or intentional. Now, witnesses say Liam had been acting erratically in the lobby prior to the fall, that he smashed his laptop and had to be helped back to his room. So he was actually in Argentina to see his former bandmate, Niall Horan, who was performing there, right? And Liam had also just posted to Snapchat an hour before this incident happened. And what he posted was very, like, just normal. Like, he's in Argentina. He's with his girlfriend. Now, mind you, those videos he posted had been taken days ago. So his girlfriend, who was there with them, she was only going to go for a couple days, ended up staying longer. And she was like, I've got to get back home. And she had left a couple days prior, but he had just posted those videos. So what you're watching from his Snapchat hadn't just happened. They'd actually happened days ago. So his girlfriend, Kate Cassidy, was with them for a while, but she had left a few days prior to this incident. And right, like I said, right now things are still, but it was just beyond shocking news. One, 31 is so young. The circumstances surrounding the death are just heartbreaking and terrifying. And then he leaves behind a 7-year-old son with his former girlfriend, Cheryl Cole.
He has been very vulnerable and very honest about his battles with drugs and alcohol over the years. He seemingly, at least most people thought, that was in his past, but this erratic behavior over the weekend has people thinking, like, maybe he was using again, right? You got to remember, for an entire generation, Gen Z. I don't think this is, maybe it's a little bit overhyped, but this is kind of their Beatles.
This is huge.
Yeah.
No, really. I mean, this is a devastating, devastating blow for One Directioner fans. I mean, I'm sure they were just reeling yesterday upon hearing the news. And I'm sure they were like kind of almost incredulous and shocked. Like, no, there's no way. Yeah. Like, he's 31. He was just posting on Snapchat. What do you mean he's dead because he fell off a balcony in Argentina? Like, that's crazy.
So there's been no details as to if he fell off purposely, if it was an accident. No one knows. That's tragic.
The whole thing is a little stunning to me also. To be totally honest with you, I I thought it was going to be like a really high, high, high building. It was the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, my girlfriend, knows somebody that fell from 8 stories and broke their back but lived. And 3, I mean, now you think about it, it's 30 feet. It's pretty damn high.
It depends on how you fall.
Sure.
If
mm-hmm.
you fell on top yeah. of your head and cracked your neck,
yeah.
then there's obviously nothing that can be done.
Tragic either way. More details today for sure coming out. It's just been a weird couple of years, I think, for him. And again, here we are talking about... He was 16, I believe, when he got into One Direction. So that living that whole lifestyle has got to be so stressful. And I think over the course of the last couple of months, we've been examining it more and more and more. And I wonder if this is going to have some fallout also.
We will be talking about this all morning because there's, you know, lots to cover here. And then in your next Entertainment Buzz, we're going to cover what Liam posted right before the incident and also like the tributes and the condolences that, you know, are pouring in about his passing. Now, moving on to something much different and much lighter. Sources say Deadpool and Wolverine stars Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman could host the Oscars.
Really?
I'm not mad at it.
I could see this. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Well,
yeah.
Has Hugh done it before or has he done other award shows?
I want to say Hugh Jackman has done the Oscars.
I know for sure. He's done like the Tonys.
Yeah.
So, but he hasn't done the Oscars?
I don't think so.
Oh, he could do that.
Oh, I think he could too.
I think their personalities would mesh well.
Oh, yeah, man.
For sure.
So they're, he hosted in 2009. Jackman hosted the universally praised 2009 show produced by Bill Condon and Larry Mark.
Yeah, so that dude is so
Jackman's
talented. That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. They say there's going to be like a rotating ensemble, which could include like Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, and also The Rock. Now, Joker 2 is going to lose up to $200 million at the box office.
Oh, damn.
Ouch.
Damn.
I'll break those numbers for you as well in the next Entertainment Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
How can you even call yourself an American? How can you even call yourself a proud American Messy Mikey if you have never seen a Disney movie? Not one.
I'll call myself a proud American as much as I'd like, but I've never seen any Disney movies.
Then you're not American.
I don't believe
you
that.
You are not
I
American.
I don't believe that for a second. I've never seen a Disney movie. What are you going to do to me?
Not one.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think
you're getting kicked out of the country, man.
Well, I'm not going to accept that. I am doing my due diligence now. I'm going back. And I got my hands on a stranger's Disney Plus account. And I'm going back and I'm going to watch some because I'm tired of missing all the references. Everybody's always talking about these Disney movies. I never get it. And I want to be a part of the group.
How does that happen? Like, how do you have an entire childhood and not experience one Disney movie?
Your parents do not like you, man. Don't like you.
I'm a cartoon guy. I watch
animated features are just long, like, form cartoons, right?
Cartoon TV shows. SpongeBob, I watched that till the day I die. I went through time in childhood where I was watching Napoleon Dynamite, like, multiple times a day.
This tracks.
Yeah, I was more in that kind of land.
It really does.
It really does.
So, last night, you guys assigned me my first Disney movie to watch, which goes by the name of Beauty and the Beast.
This was to help out Cassie, right? And their marital tension.
Yes, my husband and I are having tension because we disagree over the Beast's actions when Belle asks the Beast if she can go to her father, who she sees and is in danger in the magic mirror. I think it's selfish because the Beast is sacrificing himself, but the entire castle of his servants and people, and he's just thinking about himself, but my husband's like, no, he did the right thing. He was in love. He let Belle go to her father.
So your introduction into Disney movies was this one.
Yeah. All right. So do you guys want me to start with my rating or start with helping Cassie out?
Your segment, man.
Okay. I'm going to start with my rating. It was an 8. But the singing was relentless. It's a 6. The singing drove me crazy.
Too much.
Listen, it never, whenever they broke out into song, it
Tell
never once pushed.
Time.
It never pushed the plot forward. It just, you were stuck on that plot point for 5 minutes. It was infuriating. I can't stand the singing. I learned something. I hate musicals. It was
I'm with you on that.
Horrible.
I'm definitely
I'll
with
back you,
bro.
Both on
Yeah,
man.
I've
reason why
never
the,
seen it.
It's the reason why the Joker didn't do
That's
so
right.
Yeah. Infuriating. I think it was 8 minutes into the movie before they just started talking like people. It was the longest song I've ever heard. I was not looking forward to that. Also, not a big fan of love stories, and so wrong movie for me, too. But all in all, fun movie. Okay. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Who was your favorite character?
Probably the clock.
Yeah.
What was the message, the deep message, moving forward in your life that you got from this movie?
Okay. Because Disney has a message in every single film.
Well, I don't know if I dissected that well, but I don't think the Beast learned any sort of lesson. He turned away some weird old woman at his door. It's like, yeah, who's going to let that lady in? She was trying to give him a rose or something. So first of all, he was right to do that. I don't know why it was right that she got a curse put out on him. And then he faked being nice in order to make this girl fall in love with him. It's like, there's no lesson here. He's shallow.
So every dude has done that.
Yeah. I know. It's like, this is not a beautiful message. Yeah. So I don't know. And also, she is also shallow, right? It's like she didn't like the Beast at first because he's ugly. So why is she not cursed?
No, because he kidnapped her.
It was that.
He's a huge hulking monster that kidnapped her.
I guess
so. First kidnapped her dad.
So what you're saying is he wouldn't do well, or he would do well in Love is Blind.
He would.
That's a funny concept. All the Disney characters in Love is Blind.
I'm here for that.
The Beast would thrive, dude.
All right. And now on to Cassie's marriage.
Okay. Let's try to save this thing.
So you're saying that whenever the Beast kicked or let the girl go.
Belle. Her name is Belle.
Whenever she let Belle go.
Jeez.
Almost animosity towards Belle.
Whenever she let him go, or whenever he let her go, you're saying that was wrong because the candle still stuck as a candle and everything?
Yes. All the rest of the people because the curse applies to all of them, which is unfair, but he's not just sacrificing himself. Mm-hmm. He's sacrificing everyone in the castle.
There's collateral damage is what you were saying. Yeah. Okay. You didn't think about that.
Well, I thought it was dumb. Why'd he just sit in his little chair and sulk? Why did he not go with her? She's got to go back through those woods where she got attacked by the wolves. And so why would he not go and help?
Actually, that is an excellent point.
Thank you.
He's the worst.
Yeah, just get out of your chair and go help the girl, and then she's going to love you regardless. Infuriating. Then they started singing again.
The man makes a point.
He really does.
Wow, that was a major plot hole there.
So what's next? What's the next one?
Yeah, what do you guys got for me?
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Oh, we need more Mikey Disney reviews.
No more singing, please.
Oh, babe, that's in all of them. Yeah. I think it's got to be Little Mermaid or Lion King.
I vote Lion King.
Or Frozen.
Lion King.
Even better.
Frozen.
Ding, ding, I think ding, we got to do Frozen.
I'll do Frozen.
Okay. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Cass, I wanted to ask you a quick question, though.
Yes.
Because I have been intrigued by, your life right now. Life in an RV, right? So for those that haven't been listening, through a whole bunch of different circumstances, it's just been awful for Cassie over the course of the last couple of years that culminates in 5 trees falling on her house and her being homeless, trying to go to an Airbnb. Insurance has been a big old cluster F for her also. So she decided with her husband to move into an RV that they've parked in their driveway in front of their house, right? And I loved the idea initially, right, of this kind of freedom. If you're in an RV, you can park anywhere you want, go wherever you want, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been watching you over the last couple of weeks, and while initially excited by the idea of the RV, I'm wondering now, if you had to make the same decision, would you have chosen the RV, or would you have just gone find another Airbnb?
I would choose the RV again, just because it's so much cheaper. I mean, we're talking like, it was like $4,000 to $8,000, because we didn't have any furniture and we can't go in our house and get the furniture. So we would have to either furnish an apartment or get a furnished one. And that's expensive. And the RV is way cheaper. It is a pain. There's a lot more manual labor than I thought there would be.
Besides that initial septic tank problem that you had, what else has there been?
I mean, and it's not hard. I'm not acting like I'm like over here breaking up rocks with a pickaxe, but it's like, you know, every dish, there's no dishwasher. So everything is hand wash. And then there's no washer and dryer. So we got to go to a laundromat every other day. It gets cluttered really quickly. And then the septic tanks, we family of four go through them real fast. A lot of people will do it like maybe once every 5 days. We have to do it almost every day.
Wow.
So we're talking 120 gallons of stuff every couple of days that we have to haul and dump. And that's a pain in the butt. And it takes an hour every day, which is not a lot of time. But when you're sweating for an hour and then you got to come in and like shower, it's just a pain.
And dump poop every day?
Yeah. Every other day. Yeah, it is.
I'd say it is a big deal.
It is. Fun. But honestly, it's not that bad. I kind of went into it being like, it'll be fun. And then the sort of honeymoon phase will wear off and I'll be like, I hate this. And I don't.
No.
It's now some of the spaces are a little tight. I'm not exactly a petite woman, so that can get annoying. But we're figuring out ways to mitigate that. And it's really been okay. It's kind of been fun.
Do we have any update from insurance about when work will possibly begin on your house?
No, they hit us back and they're like, we're good.
What do you mean we're good?
They're like, no, we're done. We're done with you. No with your way. Account.
Yeah, uh-huh. Five trees fall through the roof of your house and the insurance is saying, no, we're done?
Yeah.
And what was the what are they citing as the fault that they're not accepting like or giving you any cash for it?
I don't want to get too much into it because we're pursuing other avenues, okay. Essentially. But basically, they're like, no, we feel like we gave you what you were owed, which is not enough to properly fix the house. I'll put it that way, because there could be more structural damage. And basically, the comparison is putting a Band-Aid over the problem rather than fixing the actual problem.
Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm.
Yes, exactly.
And so they cut you a check, but it's laughable.
Yes,
what they cut you in order to try to fix the damage on your home.
We need five times that amount to fix the damage.
Gotcha.
Five times the amount? You guys aren't seeing eye to eye on five times?
Yes.
So your number would be what and their number would be what right now?
I don't want to go into the specific numbers, but yeah, it's five times the amount of what they gave. So they gave enough to do the roof, which is great, but there's more structural damage that needs to be done and other checks, like the chimney's messed up, all the gutters are messed up, water is pouring down the side of the house because of the gutters. So the basement is flooding due to the water damage from the tree falling through the roof. So it's just a big cluster. So we've had independent people come in and now they will be sending out. We've sent them a letter and they will be sending out another field agent to do another inspection alongside our contractor.
Is there a specific attorney that you reach out to in cases of insurance?
There are. The firm that we are using, I think something like 40% of their cases deal with this particular insurance company. 40% of their cases deal with this company. So, you know, we're not the first and we're certainly not the last. And I do feel that we are very lucky in that our entire, you know, our home is fixable and that we do have a place to live and we're nearby. So I think at the end of the day, when I read about people suffering from like Hurricane Milton or Helene and their entire house getting washed away, you know, it's valuable perspective. And I hate to use somebody else's trauma for that, but I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, we're going to be okay. It's just going to be a lengthy process. And if they don't agree with what we said, we could be looking up to literal years in court and trying to settle this.
Well,
that is messed up.
Yeah. Better get used to that RV.
Yeah. Well, there were loans. So I think we would pursue a different route at that point. But, you know, honestly, the RV life, it's been fun. It's brought us closer together as a family. We definitely do more stuff together. There's more outside time. So we're getting out of the house more. And I think, like, I hate to say it because I'd rather be back in my house in my own bed because these beds are not that comfortable. But at the end of the day, it might actually be a blessing because we're learning to live with a lot less, you know, and it really trims it down and we're focusing on what's important and that's family. And I know this sounds really and Hallmarky and stupid, but that's really what's happening.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, so follow-up Thursday here. Kristen, what's on the table today?
So she went spying at her boyfriend's email and find out a little more than what she bargained for. So this, the last time we heard from this Burt Show listener was March of this year. And out of curiosity, in quotations, she went through her boyfriend's phone while he was sleeping. She discovered a series of emails from his ex. It all started off with her giving life updates. Then the emails took a turn when she questioned his relationship status and pushed to see him. Our listener's heart sank when she saw her boyfriend's response. He described our listener as convenient and mentioned not seeing a future with her. Torn, our listener reached out to us for advice. We told her to confront him immediately, but be prepared for his excuses. What did she do, Mo?
Hello, Bird Show. As you can probably guess, I am no longer with my ex. But I didn't take your advice. After you read my email, I still took a few days to think about what I wanted to do. I thought that I would be able to use the time to clear my head. But the truth is, the longer I thought about it, the angrier I got. So I didn't take a very mature route. About a week after I read the initial emails on his computer, I logged on again. He had already received two more emails from his ex at that point. In both emails, she kept insisting that they meet up. He would brush her off, but it was obvious that he was leaving the door open. So I responded to that email. I pretended to be him, and I wrote that communicating with her had been a mistake.
Oh, damn.
I wrote that he was uninterested in meeting her, that he had a serious girlfriend, and that he thought she was pathetic. To try and continue a conversation with someone she knew was in a relationship. Oh, yeah, she'll think that's him. I told her I was blocking her and to never contact me, a.k.a. him, again. I sent the email, but I didn't actually block her from his account. It felt really cathartic, and I thought after that I would be able to have a serious conversation with him and get through this and move on with our relationship. But not 2 hours later, I got a DM from her. She messaged me with receipts from every email they had sent back and forth to each other. She said she was coming to me as a woman to let me know what my boyfriend had been doing behind my back.
Lies, you hussy.
Of course, I had already read the email she sent me, but hearing it all from her, like she was doing me a favor, made my blood absolutely boil. So that night, I dumped my ex with zero hesitation. I showed him the DMs from his ex and told him we were done. He just sat there, mouth agape like a dumb, shocked fish.
Oh, he's like that Billy Bass.
I closed the door on him and our relationship.
Good.
Forever.
Good.
And I haven't looked back since.
Good. And don't.
Yeah. Nope.
What a clown.
That's the way you leave.
Oh, he's a clownfish.
All right. So we had a nice superficial debate earlier this morning. Let's not stop here.
Okay. Let's keep it going. So I found this list on the Shade Room. And it was a topic about what are some things that people romanticize today and pretend like it's just normal to romanticize it. But in reality, they shouldn't because it's actual horrible. It's actually horrible.
Okay.
And I thought I would write down some of the comments because there were plenty. And then you guys can tell me if you agree that these things are actually overly romanticized or if you think they actually should be.
Okay. So like they're romanticized in our heads, but when you deal with them in reality, they're a pain in the butt.
Exactly that.
Okay.
Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Let's go through a couple of these. Being a quote-unquote ride or die, struggling with through someone until they get on their feet or going through hell with someone is not actually romantic. And in the end, why I gotta die?
So I
do agree with the end part of
yeah.
it. But I do think there's something to be said of being there when your significant other needs you the most. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing. So Bart and I, my husband and I, are not fans of like the ride or die label. We've never used that for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say with sincerity, like when we were in like the valleys of life is when we got the closest.
Heck yeah.
Mm. So I have romanticized it in my head, and I've also lived the reality. Nobody wants to go through crappy times, but I hate to break it to you. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just a fact of life. Life is not fair.
Completely.
It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how, like, hard you try to make the world a better place. At some point in time, you will get knocked on your butt, and hopefully you have somebody there that can sit with you for a second and stand up with you. And that, I think, is beautiful and can be romantic.
And then die.
I completely agree with y'all. Yeah. I think if it's the right person, you should go through the ups and downs. But some people will try to manipulate uh-huh. you into thinking you're supposed to go through some things with them that you are not yeah. supposed to go through.
Very, very, very true.
Situationships. Y'all have made it okay to love someone who does not love you back enough to claim you, and that is not romantic. It is diabolical.
No, yeah, there's nothing romantic about that at all.
No, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody said marriage.
Aww.
They said,
was that somebody you?
No, nah, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. They said it's an overly sexual culture, and whole phases are now being celebrated before marriage. In real life, y'all don't give a damn about yourselves or your future husbands or wives.
Wait, so are we romanticizing the hoe phase or marriage?
The marriage, I think, was the joke, but I think the hoe phase was the serious part of the comment.
I disagree. I don't think there's anything wrong with romanticizing the hoe phase. I know plenty of women wish they would have had a bigger hoe phase.
I would say I regret some of the decisions in this area I have made, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that they were romantic. They were ego.
I agree, too. Meeting a woman that I value the way that I do now made me wish I did not give my time to women that I did not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Couples goals. In reality, it sounds good to say, but you don't know these people. You know nothing about them. Why do we give people couples goals when we don't know the actual couple?
It's a very, very valid point.
Super valid. And I still believe that the most polished people in public are the ones that are most jacked up in private.
Easily. Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Easily. If they are a picture-perfect family, just know there is some dark stuff going on behind the scenes.
Love at first sight. You don't know a thing about that person. Mm. They literally could be a serial killer and unalive you, but you love them because you're conveniently attracted to them. Just tell the truth.
Facts. I agree with that one wholeheartedly.
It is a romantic notion that I could just see somebody from across the room and go, oh, we're so connected, and we have been our entire lives. But I think a lot of people use that romanticism, and it's not reality 99.9% of the time.
Which reminds me, we need to check on the women. Remember their love, love at first sight women, and see how their relationships are going.
Right. That's right.
Okay, last one.
Yep.
Hustle culture. The idea that working nonstop with little rest is the key to success. It's often glamorized as the badge of honor, but in reality, it leads to burnout, poor mental health, and a lack of work-life balance.
Absolutely. Preach. 100% believe that.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, before we get into your friend being insulted in the absolute worst way and being called a Karen.
Oh, God, how I couldn't fathom.
Can I ask you for some temporary help in my relationship?
Sure.
That I think you perhaps can only help in this room because you know the players involved and it is temporary. So I told you guys that my girlfriend, Amanda, has been living with me for 4 months until her house is ready. She just bought a house, all right, and she'll be moving into it. She's slowly been moving into it, and Monday is the day, all right?
Exciting.
I didn't know this was a thing until I saw it in front of me, and then I realized, oh, Bart has had the same complaint about Kristen all these years, and I can't understand why it's even a thing. She and I living together has been almost perfect. 98% perfect.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she's got a gripe or two about me. Why are there so many half-consumed glasses of water around my house? Why can't this woman see that the cup is half drank and then put it in the damn sink? It seems to me like she is leaving cups so she remembers where she was that day so she can get back to her original spot.
So I'm going to say this without having had a professional diagnosis, but I have been actually, I don't want to say concerned, but I have thought this for quite some time because of things I do, like leaving cabinet doors open. And I do very forgetful things. And I think it's because I got a touch of the ADHD. And so I will take a glass of water and I will drink it. And I will set it down with every intention of finishing said glass of water. But then, you know, squirrel! And then I get distracted and then I forget about said glass of water. So then I make myself another glass of water.
Okay.
And then now I'm upstairs and I'm doing, and it's on my nightstand. And then all of a sudden it says, squirrel! And then I get distracted and I go and then I'm like, did I have a water? I don't know. So then I go make another glass of water. And then before you know, I just have a little collection of water all around the house.
Okay, so there's one flaw in your explanation, and I could see this is hitting with Mo also. So I'm going to throw it to you in a second.
You triggered?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, okay, I understand the squirrel thing. I understand the ADD thing. Yeah. I got it also, man, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, but when you go back into your room and you now see that the glass is there and it is half drank, then why at that point do you either not drink it or just bring it to the sink time and time and time again?
Mm-hmm. Oddly, that's one of two things. Oddly, I don't see it. Like, it's crazy. Like, I am blind to certain things. I don't see it. Or two, I'm like, oh, that's where that water is. I'll drink it. And then squirrel! and then I don't drink it, and it just continues to sit there. I mean, and then before you know it, I'm like, God, how long has that glass of water sat there? Is it even able to be drank? And then you look and you see like a film of dust over it. You're like, yeah, no, that one's got to go. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, I need to take that downstairs with me the next time I go downstairs, right? And so then I start doing something, and then once again, squirrel! And then I completely forgot to take it downstairs with me and put it in the sink.
No.
Fam.
Same.
She leaves the half drink bottles of water everywhere. There's four on the nightstand. There's four in her car. It's in the kitchen. I find them in the closet. Why is it a bottle of water in the closet? And the reason I get upset the most is because I have a Brita. In a closet, right? And I'm like, so if you're not going to finish the water, if you're not confident that you are not going to finish the water, just get a glass and use the water from the Brita. Don't waste my purified bottled waters when you know you're not going to finish them. And then when she finds them, like Kristen said, she doesn't want them anymore because now the water is old.
Yeah.
The water is not old. It's water.
No.
It's not expiring.
It's not expiring.
I mean, at some point it's going to, and you are going to get some film across the top. But Mo raises another interesting point. Because I've seen this too. There's the half glass, right? And then she'll take another half glass and put it next to the half glass.
Yes.
There's two right there.
Now they're together. There's three of them. Like, just finish one.
They need friends.
Y'all are overthinking it. Your women are saving your lives. Have you not seen Signs?
That's exactly what I was waiting to say.
I have not seen Signs. What is that?
The whole point is the little kid keeps leaving half glasses of water everywhere, and the dad's like, what are you doing? And then when the aliens invade, they're allergic to the water, and it kills them. Yep. So you can thank your women because they're saving you from an alien invasion.
Just make sure you have a baseball bat nearby, because Merle in the movie swings away, and he breaks all the water. That's why I saw the alien. End of Aliens.
And just one final question before we move on to your Karen friend.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a time where you go around the house and sort of play checkers and like go ahead and grab all of the glasses and put them in the sink?
It depends on where I am in my cycle. If I'm in like that cleaning phase of my cycle and I don't know, it's not the ovulation phase. It's not the follicular phase.
Luteal.
Maybe. But there's a phase where you like have to clean. And that's the only time I do that.
I officially bought a plant just so I could stop feeling like I got to pour out purified water. Just so I can have something to do with the leftover purified water.
Bart does that with my leftover water.
Come on, man.
I use cups. We don't have bottled water in our house. We use cups. But every leftover water Bart uses and he waters the plants.
It's maddening. It's just maddening.
That's
after
hilarious.
All right, there are like, you know, the deepest cut that you can say to a woman is call her a Karen,
yes,
right? And you had a friend that just recently got called, but not really sure if it's Karen or not.
I'm going to tell you the story because I asked her to give me the deet so I could do a play-by-play and you all can decide if my friend was indeed a Karen,
okay,
and deserved to be called one by these teenagers, okay? So I hit her up and I said, hey, I want to do a dramatic reenactment on air of the kids calling you a Karen. Can you give me the deets? And she was like, ha ha. And here we go. It starts off with, I was in a mood. My oldest was in a mood and my youngest was in a mood. We were at my youngest daughter's cross country practice and she was hurt and couldn't run. As I was trying to talk with my girls who were being challenging, and one is 13, one's a couple years younger, right? These teen girls were blowing these ginormous dandelion-type fuzzies everywhere. Mind you, we were at a park with several acres of land, and the fuzzies were blowing all over me and two other moms. In a snippy tone, I said, can you all go blow those somewhere else? And as they walked away, they called me a Karen.
Yeah, it was pretty well deserved,
yep,
man.
Yes, you earned it.
I think it's pretty well deserved.
Yeah. Sorry, girl.
Hey, The Bert Show.
What's trending now?
Go!
Kristen knows. It's The Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Liam Payne, a member of one of the world's most successful boy bands, One Direction, died yesterday at the age of 31.
You
So for his family and his friends and One Directioners everywhere, I am so sorry because I know you were just reeling today.
Yeah, I think I said this earlier, and it might be overhyped a little bit, but for Gen Z, this was kind of their Beatles for a while there. I mean, every girl in America was attached to One Direction.
No, it's still their Beatles. Like I think there was still hope that they were going to get back together. I mean, they were distraught when Zayn left, and then, you know, the guys continued, and then they, you know, went on their solo journeys, and I think there was always this hope that the band was going to get back together and produce more music.
As I'm trying to put this whole thing together, right, it was so shocking yesterday to hear. Like, I'm what?
Yeah.
Nah. And then at first you think, nah, it's just another rumor online. Can't be. Mm-hmm. But as I'm, and I don't want this to sound disrespectful, but I'm trying to like put the puzzles together on how something like this can happen. The others in the band, when the band broke up, had more robust solo careers, correct?
No, I mean, Liam had an album, his solo album, like cracked the top 10 of the Billboard charts.
Did it do
charts.
Well? Yeah. Okay, I was wondering if he might have been suffering from like everybody else is doing well and...
I don't know, but he had a successful solo career if you look at the stats.
So did they have like a breakup that where it seemed like everybody was just not friends, not okay with each other type of situation?
Because remember, Zayn left and then the remaining four continued on. And then from what I could tell, like Liam was in Argentina to see his friend Niall Horan perform. Yeah. So, I mean, they still had, like, you know, close ties.
I think there was weirdness there for a while because Zayn came out and was popping off about the band afterwards, right? Mm-hmm.
But so the details, if you haven't heard, Liam fell from a third floor balcony at a hotel in Argentina. The incident is still under investigation. Police don't know if it was an accident or intentional. More information has just been released as of this morning. So a hotel worker made a distress call to the police shortly before his death. It has emerged and that the guest, what the hotel worker said was the guest was destroying everything in the room and appeared to be on drugs and alcohol. That's what the call to authorities is saying. And then workers, I'm going to give you a trigger warning here. Workers reportedly heard a loud sound in the courtyard right before they found his body, and it was 5 p.m. local time.
I also read yesterday, and when initial details come out, you're never really quite sure what to believe or not, because everybody wants to be first but not accurate
anymore.
Did
you see what TMZ did?
Yes. Let me get to this, and then we can get to that.
Yeah.
That he was acting erratically in the lobby, also slammed his laptop, threw it across the room or something, and then he had to be helped to his hotel room. Then you got the TMZ thing also, which was really distasteful.
So, of course, TMZ is always one of the first to report a story like this. And they've become a credible source of breaking news like this, but they took it too far because they posted his body.
With the tattoo, to identify his tattoos was their excuse, right? Yeah.
Yes, because it wasn't like it was partially covered, but you could see some of the tattoos, which identified that it was indeed Liam. And the backlash was so intense that they removed the post.
Nobody needs to see that.
No.
Nobody. And nobody wanted to see that.
Mm-mm. No, I clicked on his name today on Twitter or on X to see what people were saying, like just, you know, take the temperature. And I'm bombarded with pictures of this, a video as well of somebody, I don't know if it's him, falling from a third story window, and then pictures of his trashed hotel room, if it is his, again, like allegedly, but like TV's broken, tinfoil, burned tinfoil everywhere. Like it looks like a crime scene.
Yeah,
but if that was his room, because that's the thing when you
exactly.
go, especially on X, people will find photos of trashed hotel rooms and then post it and be like, this was Liam's, mm-hmm. when in actuality it wasn't. Because I saw somebody else post a video of somebody falling from a balcony.
I did too.
But I had watched his Snapchat and that was not where he was staying.
Right. There are like multiple different, I think that's my point, is like there are multiple different videos, but like in the race to get info out, you're going to see stuff online that may not be true.
This is something you can actually control, and will take us into a different stratosphere here. But TMZ posts pictures like that because they think that's what you want. So with the backlash, and if you can help here by not clicking on those pictures, At the end of the day, they are about money. They are about clicks. All these newest agencies are. So if you click on those pictures, you're going to get more in the future. So just don't do it.
Now, only a few days ago, Liam's ex-fiance, Maya Henry, was on a podcast saying that Liam would always predict an early death. And that'll be your next Entertainment Buzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Notice how some homes sell faster in your neighborhood? It's not luck. It's local know-how. RE/MAX agents know their streets, schools, and communities inside and out. And with RE/MAX, those local pros are everywhere. Which means when you're ready to buy or sell, you'll get trusted neighborhood insight that puts you a step ahead. Reach out today. RE/MAX. The experts close to home. Each office independently owned and operated.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.